This episode is sponsored in part by Address Validator. Incorrect addresses cost U.S. businesses over $20 billion each year. If you're tired of paying for redelivery fees and dealing with frustrated customers, Address Validator can help. It integrates with Shopify to catch and fix address errors before they become costly issues. Every day, Address Validator checks over 300,000 orders and prevents more than 11,000 failed deliveries. Big brands like Sennheiser, Helly Hansen, and Kylie Cosmetics already trust it to save them money and keep customers happy. You can even try Address Validator on your first 100 orders for free with a dashboard showing your savings. Head over to the Shopify App Store and make bad addresses a thing of the past with Address Validator. I have owned many sunglasses, and one of my favorite pairs that I have just owned, used, and abused are my Pit Viper Exciters. These are gigantic, ridiculous, in-your-face, you know, and they make a statement. These are statement glasses. My Stunna Shades is what we'll call them. And I'm thrilled today to, years later after buying those, have Chris Garson joining us, who is CEO of Pit Viper Sunglasses. And we're going to talk through that brand, how it came about, their messaging, their story, their site. I mean, if you have not seen their Shopify store, it is one of the most extraordinarily opinionated designs ever. The current version is like a 25-year-old looking macOS website that threatens killing sea turtles as part of the current hero image. I mean, it's just a phenomenal exercise at branding. And so, Chris, I need to hear the story of how you built, is this a $40 million brand? Where are we at? How are we valuing Pit Viper these days?
Yeah, Kurt, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. Always stoked to be talking about Pit Viper's website and the history that's gotten us here. Could we judge our growth on jokes per hour or number of sea turtles saved? Sure. But I guess we'll just judge it based on like number of customers served, and that's well into the millions.
Incredible. So tell me, like, take me back. How long ago did you sell the first pair?
Oh, that was 2012. And I have to say, before we like dive into the founding story and everything, I was cruising around, and I think that one of the things that you and I have in common, and one of the like most core founding principles or inspirations to Pit Viper, is Yacht Rock.
I do love my Yacht Rock.
I think it was back in the day, Chuck and I were absolutely obsessed with a YouTube series called Yacht Rock. Have you seen this?
I have not seen it. I did watch the Music Box, the HBO documentary about Yacht Rock. That was really good.
I would recommend you go and see this.
All right, we'll throw it in the show notes. But all right, 2012, you sold your first pair of sunglasses. How and where?
It all starts with a serendipitous ski trip with our founder, Chuck Mumford. He is headed to Jackson Hole, and he breaks his performance sports sunglasses and ends up at a military surplus store and finds a pair of sunglasses that the U.S. military manufactured in the early 90s, and loves them, decides this totally his vibe. He starts skiing in them. They work great. He finds a stash of them that are basically dead stock in a warehouse it's just military surplus, and buys a handful of them and starts trading them for anything he can. That's, you know, maybe a beer at the mountain, a ride up to go skiing. He was living in his van at the time. And yeah, so really the first pair wasn't bought. It was traded. And, you know, it was at that point, it was just like this plain black frame and nothing special to it. But he was already calling them Pit Vipers. then Chuck went and spray painted them. I was running a little sticker company at the time, and I could cut out little die cut stickers and put logos on the lenses. And yeah, we started, you know, I think right in 2012, I was watching him trade him. He had his phone number listed on a Facebook page that said, if you want to buy a pair, text him. And I said, hey, Chuck, I can build a website. Like, let's do this. And went straight to Shopify, started building our first website.
Was that 2013?
Yeah. Like October 2012.
I had no idea that this had been around so long. Because I discovered it probably like 2019 is when I first got onto Pit Viper. For sure by 2020, I was like deep in it. So wait, the original pair are upcycled, new old stock military glasses. Like pop the frames out, spray paint them, and then stick the Pit Viper logo with tiny die-cut vinyl.
With stickers.
Onto... the lenses, put that back together, boom. And then on top of it, he's not selling, he's bartering them.
Yeah.
All right, this is one of the stranger origin stories, but it fits, you know, a brand like Pit Viper.
Yeah, I mean, it's the wildest way, in no small part, we call this the joke that went too far. But Chuck and I always had this this relationship of, you know, we want to ski, but we also just talk about products and business all the time. And he had found these things. He started spray painting them. I'm like, man, yeah, this could be the product. And yeah, we went through 10,000 pairs of military surplus, and that's how we started the company. We're no investors. We didn't have a penny to our name because we were just kind of ski bumming it here in Salt Lake City. And yeah, just rolled any sale we got back into the company and built it from the ground up like that.
So you got him on, it got Pit Viper on Shopify. That's 2012. 2 years later, you run a Kickstarter and it gets 500 backers who pledge almost $40,000.
Yep.
Tell me about this crowdfunding campaign. Because this, especially at this time, this is a common way that people are raising money for D2C businesses.
It was right around that time. We had been, you know, buying, like I mentioned, from this warehouse, this dead stock of military surplus, and called them up, put in another order, and they're like, oh, nice, that's our last box. And we have a panic moment. We're like, oh no, what? And yeah, we were forced to start thinking forward of like, how are we going to actually do this and like parlay this like fun little project into a real business. And we needed some money to start up the production. You have to at least create the like giant heavy steel molds for the injection plastics for sunglasses. And that's not cheap.
That's not cheap. You could spend 10 grand on one mold easy and then discover it's not right and you get to remake it.
Hire. it's easy to spend 30 grand on a mold. So anyway, that was our goal, was $30,000 on Kickstarter. Looking back at it today, that's a pretty modest goal, but we were hustling and trying to make it work. And yeah, by the end of the month, we had brought in $38,000, and that was going to be enough to start our production and actually start manufacturing these sunglasses. That, yeah, it was a wild time. We had a lot of fun with the Kickstarter, had like a hilarious video, got to make what I think is a very funny celebration video when we hit our goal. And then, yeah, between our Shopify site, I think we brought in about 40,000 in sales that month, and the Kickstarter brought in 38,000. And Yeah, Chuck and I were like, okay, game on. I owned a house at the time, but decided I couldn't just take on Pit Viper full time and have a mortgage payment. So sold the house, quit the job, started doing Pit Viper full time, and it's been no looking back since then.
Man, you went all in early. I suppose at that point you're at this 2-3 years. So you saw the potential, you believed in it. But still, how does it feel to sell your house, quit your job for, you know, selling what are really just outrageous sunglasses?
I was fully out on a limb. And I mean, I still get stories today about, you know, walking into a room, talking to, you know, skier friends or acquaintances about Pit Viper sunglasses, demand, respect, and authority. These are the optimal blend of style and performance. You guys need these. They have 3 adjustment points. And everybody's like excited, and then walk out of the room and they're like, what are they talking about? I don't know if that's going to work. And I think it was, a lot of skepticism around what we were doing that led to us being, very motivated. And we still talk about it today as like the underdog spirit of Pit Viper and willing to approach our business from like both a place of humor, but also a place of like, this is not a guaranteed thing. And we have to like work and be ingenuitive about how we approach problems to actually continue to exist and to grow this thing.
So I think a big part of the power of the brand, you know, more the product is great, but more so than the product is the brand. You know, it's not just a brand. There's a whole persona here to Pit Viper. How do you describe that Pit Viper personality and tone of voice?
Everybody uses the word irreverent, and really at the end of the day, it's just a combination of my personality and Chuck's personality. I just, I have this writing style that can't stay on topic. It has to go evolve into humor and conversation. And Chuck, if you ever have the pleasure of meeting him in person, is one of those people that you're immediately friends with, and he can immediately make fun of you to your face, and you think it's the greatest thing ever. And like, it's always just disarming humor, never like aggressive or mean or anything like that. And between those things, we've always had this concept of just like, okay, what is everyone else in the industry doing, you know, industry I use loosely, like really e-commerce. So what is everybody doing? And then can we flip it on them? How do we look at it in a different way? And how do we approach it from like, you know, just thinking about how we would want our favorite brand in the world to be interacting with us? And that's how we think about anything that we do here.
And it's worked because it is so fun. It's so engaging. It's also one of those things where you see it, you read it, you hear it, and you know right away if it's for you or not. That it's polarizing. And there's something good about that because you separate the wheat from the chaff. The unqualified visitors go away, and you're really only going to keep the people around who are interested in this. This market, like obviously this approach works for you. It's been successful. How successful is it? Have you ever had like a viral marketing moment with this? You know, everybody wants to go viral, but it requires being, you know, kind of bold and outrageous.
So COVID era was turned out to be a huge boost for us. And I think we all, looking back on it now, we had no idea going into it. Then there's some question, and then anything with the outdoor industry just got this huge bump. We sell these, sure, outrageous, but also performance oriented sunglasses that are fantastic for skiing, mountain biking, trail running. I mean, we live here in Salt Lake City and Park City, and that's like part of our core. And 2021, we just prior to that, Christmas season, we actually had a banner on the website that just said, we're an apparel company now, because we had sold out of absolutely everything. We had not a single pair of sunglasses on the shelf. Like, we, you know, between manufacturers' delays and increased demand, it was gone. And so shortly thereafter in January, which is slow season for sunglasses because not many people buy sunglasses in January, we had a restock. And that was the single biggest sales day in Pit Viper history. We did over 2 million in sales on our Shopify site alone that day.
Whoa.
It was insane. So that it was that 2021 January restock that is just, whoa, something's happening here. And yeah, it was an incredible moment.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the Unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. So that, for sure, just a restock in January, taking off way bigger than you expected. Like, 100% impressive. I think we all want that success. Are there any other marketing moments that stand out? I saw you've got Travis Pastrana as a brand ambassador.
We started small with our brand ambassadors. We call them key players. And our Pit Viper key players have always been, like, crucial to our success. But we started early with a lesser known guy named Larry Entyser. And he made a viral video of himself crashing a snowmobile. And the moment we saw it, we're just like, oh my God, just like send this guy some Pit Vipers. He just needs them. And that is how we've approached a lot of our brand ambassador relationships is, we see something that we like, we think that resonates with our brand, and we just send them product and say, hey, we're Pit Viper. We think you're funny. If this product speaks to you, then let's talk and see what we can do. And with Larry, it was incredible. I mean, he immediately took the product. It became part of his persona. He continued to like build on this Instagram account and like build this core following, I think in YouTube as well. And it became this very like positive synergy between the two, where like he was so on brand and we were so behind him. And it's been like that as we've grown. And so, sure, it's been gone from Larry to Travis Pastrana to Rob Gronkowski. And like each step of the way, it has been this like mutual like respect, but also like appreciation for their style and their humor that makes just all of it make sense. I mean, each of these things were at the beginning, at least handshake deals where, you know, I remember sitting down with Travis at a dinner and he's just like, I don't have to do this, but I just think you guys are fun and funny and I like what you're doing. And that was just like a mind melting moment for me of like, no way. Like, looking back at the people that doubted and were like, okay, Chuck and Chris, like you're putting stickers on lenses, and coming all the way up to like Travis Pastrana and Rob Gronkowski just telling us that they like what we're doing and they want to participate is just, incredible. So,
and this is all built on the back of product seeding?
Yeah. And I think it, like, the true takeaway is to just, like, you first you have to, like, establish the brand and know your brand, and then look outward and try to look for those people that embody your brand already. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, giving them some product and letting them decide for themselves whether or not your brand speaks to them is the way to do it. Because if it doesn't speak to them, then it's not the right partnership anyways. And yeah, we've been incredibly lucky with that. It's been a really fun ride.
Absolutely. And again, that continues to be the power of a polarizing brand that has a strong voice and opinion. Has there ever been a moment where you go, you know what, like where you pitch ideas and you go, yeah, that's too far. We can't do that, even though we're Pit Viper.
Yes, every day.
So how do you, like, how do you know where the line is?
Oh God. I mean, we don't, we have to test it all the time. And inevitably, as our company's grown, we've had to, like, we've tested the line and we've found it several times and had to, like, pull it back and, like, reevaluate and, like, figure out what is actually, like, at the core of our humor. And, like, oh, do we need to, like, have a bunch of curse words on our packaging because these moms are getting really mad when this package shows up on their porch? And we're like, oh, you know, we can probably execute our brand without as many F-bombs sitting on the porch as, you know, we have right now. So
I can see where swearing may work at first and not necessarily scale, especially when applied to packaging.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I mean, quite honestly, we've made every mistake in the book. And the only way that we've moved forward is to, like, try to look at what we do and understand that, you know, we are going to make mistakes, but we have to learn from them. And we have to change our minds almost constantly about what our brand is too. And being able to try to provide continuity in that brand, but also be able to change your mind about the details and what Pit Viper really is on a day-to-day basis is a task in mental gymnastics, but I think it's crucial to a growing company.
And, you know, the Pit Viper Shopify store has long been one of my favorites because of its opinionated design. And it has always had, for as long as I've known it, a 90s retro aesthetic. That is, like, that is core to Pit Viper's look. Is that just really leaning into an almost extreme version of the 90s. How do you, is there any thought put into that to approaching it without it feeling like a gimmick? It does not feel like a gimmick to me, but when I have pitched similar ideas to other people, they resist it. And they're like, no, I want the same beige website that everybody else does, because otherwise it'll be a gimmick. Which, you know, what do you say to that?
Oh, I mean, it's a gimmick. No. Our only goal is to kind of just break the monotony, right? And to provide some kind of humor and entertainment in everything we do. And, like, at the end of the day, if we execute on a website that gives such an impression to someone that they say, oh, you have to go check out the Pit Viper website, then we've just, like, saved ourselves a significant amount in, you know, advertising cost by this organic growth. And really, that's what we want, is Pit Viper to be something that's shared among friends. So if you go to the Pit Viper website and you're like, oh my gosh, this is great, and you tell one other person, then mission accomplished. And yeah, we have to do that through unique design that is fun and funny to explore, and then it still has to be an effective sales tool. So we have to balance that with, like, an extremely shoppable, well-made user experience that is simple to get through and easy to check out. So
it's so good. I love it. I do. Everything about this is 90s themed. In the 90s, I was a teenager, and we were always accusing anything that was too successful or too big of being sellouts. Like, you couldn't, if it was too big, a brand got too big, a band got too big, it's no longer cool. How is that ever a concern for you? Do you fight it? Do you intentionally try to look smaller, independent to maintain that cool? Or do we just not care?
Well, we are small. We are independent. As you grow, of course, you get that, like, oh, they're just sellouts. Like, you know, we forever had made fun of Wayfair sunglasses. It's like the classic, like, Ray-Ban shaped sunglass that, like, absolutely everyone wears. And, you know, through, like, part of the mental gymnastics of redeveloping what we think our brand is, we're like, okay, we are actually going to sell that because we want to, like, meet our customer where our customer is at. And there's going to be a certain cohort of our Pit Viper fans that are like, oh, Pit Viper's sold out. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to make the brand that we want to exist in the world. And we want to invite as many people to the party as possible. So if that means, like, creating a product that is going to be more approachable to more people, then great. And we are going to invite them into the party and then show them what Pit Viper is all about. And hopefully after they, like, get their, like, little first hit of the Wayfarers that we come out with, called the Highball, you know, they'll go back to the Pit Viper originals and put them on and go to the beach and be like, man, I feel like I'm bringing the party right now. And that's what we want everybody to feel when they are wearing a pair of Pit Vipers. So,
yeah, hard to miss.
We'll always get that kind of feedback from a small group of people, and there will always be people that are either critical of the direction we've taken the company or just critical of the choices we make. And if you spend all of your time thinking about that, then you're never going to move forward and be able to, like, grow this company. And that's our goal, is to, you know, show the world a little bit more fun through the Pit Viper brand.
All right, I'm on board. The whole thing, you know, everything about it embodies fun. That is a core theme to Pit Viper. But it's a real business. It is a big business. You've been doing this over 10 years. Tell me about what's not fun about it.
Oh, man.
I mean, other than, like, Instagram comments, I'm sure those are a delight.
I tell you, even with those, I take with a grain of salt, where it's like you have to find the humor in everything and just either banter back and forth or just let it be there and, yeah, you know, just allow the grumpy people to be grumpy. What is not fun about this? I mean, when we go out and make mistakes, any company that's trying to, like, put themselves out there, and especially a company like ours that has such a loud brand, we'll step out on a limb and, you know, we'll make a mistake on, like, social media or something, and trying to retract that and, like, right the ship is not fun, but it's a useful endeavor in learning, like, where the guidelines are on our brand and what, you know, we should or shouldn't touch. And I guess, like, cleaning the bathrooms sucks. And sometimes I have to do that. I'm like, just use the toilet brush, guys. I'm like,
all right. I
managed to have fun with mostly everything we do. I don't know.
I'm glad to hear it. Social media is where you live. It's a big part of Pit Viper. I don't think a brand like Pit Viper today can exist without social media. What platforms are working for you best at the moment?
TikTok has been incredible for us up until, I mean, yeah, recently, like, our past year, we've like, focused on growing that following. I think that it's, you know, still TikTok and Instagram are the most important. Yeah, that's really because that's where our following is. And that's where those are the platforms that we internally understand. Like, I'm the age demographic that uses Instagram, and we employ a lot of the younger demographic that's really into TikTok. And like, between those two, we are capable of like focusing on really endemic content for that platform. And like, it's never a copy and paste from one platform to the other. It's like, okay, how do you engage on this specific platform, and how do you make a video that is going to work in TikTok? How do you make content that's going to work in Instagram? And we, you know, have started looking more like closely at YouTube too, and we feel like there's a lot of opportunity there, and hopefully it's in longer form storytelling, which we think we could be really good at. We have, like, I don't know, in my opinion, we have a lot of fun videos already on our YouTube channel, but you know, it's very low viewership, and we haven't quite cracked the code of how we approach the fans or the followers there. But yeah, that's what we're focused on right now.
Are your upsells stuck in the Stone Age? Your store runs on data, so why aren't your upsells? Outdated upsell apps make you guess, test, and tweak manually. That's costing you money. Zipify one-click upsell changes everything. Its AI engine automates upsells, analyzing every cart in real time to offer the highest converting product. No guesswork, no setup, just results. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So flip the switch and let AI handle your upsells. Try Zipify one-click upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Start AI-powered upselling today. What do you think is the difference between posting on, you know, Instagram and TikTok? Like, I hear there's an age difference here. TikTok's skewing younger.
I think it's the formality of the video itself. It's like, I perceive it as the way to be authentic on TikTok is by a much more raw, conversational style video. It doesn't necessarily have like very high production value or like strong intention. And then I think more so on Instagram, and I'm really splitting hairs because they're relatively similar, but more so on Instagram, the expectation is a more well-formed thought when it comes to a video, like a better executed production. Yeah, splitting hairs there, but that's kind of my perception.
Okay. No, I believe it. I buy it. Some brands try hard to be cool. Pit Vipers, I perceive as cool. You know, that's what you want to hear from a 42-year-old man. I think you're cool. But you know, you even sell a pair of glasses called the Tryhards. The Gen Z kids may accuse a brand like this of being a tryhard, of trying too hard. What do we do about that? Like, is there, we just include some intentionally sloppy shit in here? What is the, what's the approach to resist it?
I mean, we try to keep our humor on the nose and call ourselves what we are. So it's, at some point, like, intentionally deprecating humor is like how we express ourselves to people and say, like, yeah, we are what we are. I mean, if you perceive us as being contrived or inauthentic because we are just attempting to sell you something with humor, then you are probably thinking too much about it, and you might not be our customer. And you touched on it earlier. It's like, we're not trying to create a brand for everyone. Like, there's people out there that want to be serious and take everything they do very seriously. And
those people should buy Wayfarers.
And those people are welcome to shop at Oakley. We want people to see the fun and the adventurous stuff that they do and bring, you know, the party to the ski hill. And that's why we always talk about our kind of lofty, aspirational, imaginary place of Party Mountain. And Party Mountain, it's just like good times and good vibes, and you're gonna bring the fun and bring a smile, and yeah, not worry too much about the people that are being grumpy.
A couple years ago, this just came back to me. A couple years ago, I was in Shields, a sporting goods store, and they had a Pit Viper display that was like an interactive arcade machine. I thought this was the coolest thing I had seen in a while. Tell me about that.
Oh man, we killed ourselves over how do we go into stores and like bridge the gap between our brand on online, where you get so much of who we are and our jokes, and you get our confirmation emails, which I love. And like, how do we bring that experience into a store where we don't get to have as much of like a conversation? And yeah, we came up with this idea for an arcade machine display case. It was actually our distributors in New Zealand who first had it created. We call it the Arcader. It has a working joystick, 3 working buttons with sound effects, changes all the lights when you move the joystick around, and it was the one thing. That was the thing. It was like, okay, now we can go execute our brand in retail. And it was, incredible. We managed to produce, I think it was well over 1,000 of those arcaders and place them all over the US and some abroad. And you can go into almost any Shields now and they'll have an arcader display case there. And yeah, go.
Oh, I think it was so cool. I was on a road trip.
Go press the third button. It's
I almost bought
the third button.
Why? What's the third button do? I mean, I remember playing with it. I don't remember what the third button did.
You'll have to go find the Shields and find out.
It's like 5 hours for me. All right. I gotta make
go on our website. We've got a dealer locator. You can find something closer.
All right, good. And yeah. Man, where's Pit Viper headed next? Where do you go from here? More products?
Yeah, I think understanding, you know, what our customer wants and like developing into more products. Our product process is so fun now that we've like figured it out and had the time to establish it. Like, we've been doing this 12 years. The originals were like probably 6 years of that. The exciters that you have are the second pair that we ever launched. And now we've gotten to the point where we're mature enough of a company that we have a product development process and we get to make this the eyewear that we want. And that's a really cool place to be. And like, you see me now wearing a pair of the Sky Surfers, which is my favorite pair for, I'll admit, I do run. And these are my favorite sunglasses for running. I think it's expanding product, looking outward internationally, working on, you know, with Shopify, working on either expansion stores or working within Shopify markets to grow our international reach. And also go more into our retail partners who, we have a phenomenal retail network now of like over 1,500 doors across the US that mostly like specialty shops that crush it in either like mountain biking or skiing. And they are responsible for projecting our brand out in the world in a physical space. And, you know, they do an incredible job of doing that.
I'm always thrilled when I see Pit Vipers out and about. Like, we were in Colorado and we saw like a huge banner said now carrying Pit Vipers. Like, I didn't need any more sunglasses. I wasn't going to buy any, but I'm like, oh, let's go check it out. My wife was like, what is your deal with these sunglasses? All right. Final question. What's one rule in business you think is total bullshit?
I don't know if it's as much of a rule as it is a guiding principle, especially online. Everybody seems to just copy each other. It's the clean, simple, shoppable, like white or cream background website. And the the email pop-up kills me. And granted, we do it too, but I think it's or that people perceive is that they need to do everything the same as everyone else is doing it. People don't push hard enough against those like norms. The email pop-up is something that like I think about probably way too often. It's like, I probably have a way bigger problems to like try to handle, but I find myself just stewing about like, why should I be incentivized to give you my email for 15% off my first order when absolutely everyone is doing that? I'm like, think about that just a little bit differently. Like, give me something that I care about. Like, we've been talking here about changing that to be like, enter your email and we are giving away a jet ski once a month forever. And if you enter your email here, you're just on the list to win a jet ski. And we're doing a drawing every month. Take those discounted dollars that you would have spent on the 15% off and just buy a jet ski with that and give that away. I mean, it's just like approaching the problem from a different angle and just trying to break the mold and see like how you can.
I think there are a few pairings as good as pit vipers and personal watercraft. Like you don't find a better pairing. And we've worked with brands that have done those big monthly giveaways. Like, you know, Hoonigan used to regularly give away cars and the result is quite incredible. And it immediately speaks to like, wow, this is a big brand. And, you know, when it's on a welcome pop-up, you're right. You're absolutely right. Look, give us your email, save 10%. Or I'm going to click escape, close, or just back. And I don't care. Mm-hmm. Right. But if the site opens with, we're giving away a jet ski, and Pit Viper will have just like an outrageous photo of said jet ski in action. And like, that's going to get people's attention. Where even if they don't give you the email, and I bet the opt-in rate is great, they're still like, that is going to get their attention enough that they're engaged, that they at least go visit the site. And that's the stuff that turns into purchases. Or they're going to bounce because they're like, this is clearly not for me. I will not waste my time. And that's fine too. I mean, I love that idea. I expect by this summer you're giving away jet skis.
I hope so. If we're not, we're doing it wrong. And I definitely agree that few things pair better than Pit Viper and an aspiration to own more watercraft.
Absolutely. So if I wanted to get myself a pair of Jet Hawks, and the exec Jet Hawk, I think that speaks to me. What website am I going to? Let's plug it.
PitViper.com, baby.
PitViper.com. Yeah, check it out. It's so cool.
Yep. For all your shopping pleasure.
Chris Carson, Pit Viper, thank you so much. This has been, I've loved it. This has been everything I hoped for and more.
Kurt, it's my pleasure. It was really fun. Thanks for having me.
Talk soon. See you, Chris.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.